It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
And away we go with the 6th annual WWGH Radio Christmas Special Slash Party 2019, supported by Domino's Pizza, 740-383-3030. We are live on the air. And right before we went on the air, for the 6th year in a row, Charlie about yanked the microphones and took us right off the air. Charlie, what are you doing?
Well, these earphones are such classic earphones.
Don't make fun of our earphones, Charlie.
They remind me of somebody's barn that the horse escaped from.
What do you think happened to those? Now, for people who are listening on radio, the earphones have kind of disintegrated over the years, only on the one set.
That's because our radiation has permeated the covering on these. And
what do you mean, our radiation? What radiation do we have?
Very little.
Very little. Just enough to do
about 20 watts of it.
And we radiated those microphones into retirement.
Yes, we did.
They look like they're from a 1929 Atwater Kent.
Yeah. They're like a guy I used to work with. His sweat rotted everything.
He had an acidy sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything turned white, though. This didn't turn white.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
With the residue of salt.
Well, this is actually the 6th year that we've done this WWGH Christmas special. Charlie's been here since the beginning. Linda Sims has been here since the beginning. And we've picked up a whole lot of people along the way, which is great. Now, the whole group is here tonight. Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Mike Wilson, Glenn Coble, Linda Sims, Nate Redman, Mary Ellen Withrow is along with us. The Leszewski family will be with us in hour number 2. We're going to have readings of Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus by Mary Ellen. We're going to have Twas the Night Before Christmas, which has been a 6-year tradition by Charlie. We've got the whole thing going on tonight over the next 2 hours of live radio. And we do want to say hello to everybody listening over at the Elks. The Elks is listening to us tonight. So hello, everybody, over at the Elks
State
Lodge.
Over on State Street.
Over on State Street, which used to be the old Ohio Theater?
Yeah.
Well, the Elks, the Elks was never part of the Ohio Theater, I don't believe. It was up above.
What was the theater's original name? It's still up on
Grand.
The Grand Theater?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
I thought it was
a long time ago.
I
remember when it burned in 1895.
You were there?
Oh, yeah. There was nothing but 4 walls left, no windows. And what surprised me, they rebuilt the whole thing.
And you put the statue on top of the building when it was done,
right?
That's right.
There was a lady standing up there with her children. Really?
No, it was called the Grand Renaissance or something, wasn't it?
No, just the Grand Theater, wasn't it?
Was it the Grand Theater or Grand Opera House, maybe?
Opera House.
Yes.
It was the Opera House, yes.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, how did you know about the Grand Opera House? Over at, which is now the Elks Lodge.
I've seen the
probably on the sign.
It's the sign,
the top,
which I apparently have no memory of the sign. Yeah. Now here we are, just flesh in the middle of the Christmas spirit. But this year, Charlie and I have been talking a lot about this on the air, that it's kind of a little different this year at Christmas, yeah. Is it not?
Yes, but they say that every year, and by the time you eat your last piece of turkey, you say.
And that's it. You're ready. You're into the full swing of things.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, what does Christmas mean to you?
Oh, my. It means a lot of things. Of course, going back to the original meaning of Christmas, the birth of Christ, and in more recent years, of course, things like presents, family being together, things of that sort, a warm feeling, you know, fire in the fireplace, that sort of thing.
It
snow,
really,
hopefully.
Well, a lot of people don't care for that. We've had snow this week,
well,
and people have not been
just a little bit
very,
on Christmas Eve.
People aren't thrilled with the snow. We all want a warmer Christmas now. Sean, what about you? Christmas?
Oh, giving gifts.
Just about put a hole in the wall.
You know, giving gifts to people and giving gifts, and I think it's great to watch people's faces, what they get for Christmas. I think it's neat.
Well, you've got to learn to wrap the gifts before.
Oh, I had somebody else wrap them for me.
Well, it's a big holiday this year, though, because we are going to be headed very soon. This is the last Christmas of this decade.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's true.
That is true.
Think about that.
That's right. Because we'll be moving into 2020, and Marion, that's a big thing for us, because it'll be the 100th anniversary of President Harding being elected. It'll be the 100th anniversary of
women voting.
It will be a leap year. It'll be a presidential election year. It'll be a...
end of the world.
Summer Olympics. The world's going to end in 2020.
And you know everybody's going to have perfect sight, because we're all going to see 2020.
You know what somebody said to me the other day? Did I tell you this? Now, somebody said, now 2020, you know the television show 2020?
Yeah.
Somebody came up to me and said, they're going to have to change the name of that when the year is 2020.
Oh.
And I said to them, it's about vision.
Right.
It's not about the year 2020.
Right.
They thought it was about the year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
They also said that our calendars were going to go crazy on 2000.
So. And that didn't happen either. We'll be fine. But do we call it the 20s? Do we call the next decade the 20s? Because there are still people left
from... No, it's the 19th. Decade.
It's the 19th.
Yeah. Because the first 100 years...
No, it's the 21st century.
How is that?
It's the 21st century.
What's he got in that glass over there?
we're already a little rocky into the first 10 minutes
it
here.
It is.
It's the 21st century, yes. Not
one more than what it is.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was I when they handed out the that information?
World War One was rough on you.
It was. So if we go back to the original question, will they call the 2020s the 20s, or are the 1920s still the 20s?
Both.
But wouldn't that be confusing?
How many people are still around from the 1920s?
A few.
Not a lot.
There's
Charlie.
Yeah.
No, there are some 1920 people still
there's
left around.
Flappers out there along the street.
But, I mean, how would we refer to it if we say that, you know...
Why do they call them flappers?
Who?
Women.
I don't know.
In the 1920s?
Yeah.
It had to do with the way they danced, I think.
The flapper dances?
And long dresses and smoking cigarettes.
Didn't it have to do with the dresses?
Yeah.
Because they've kind of flapped?
Yeah. And their mouths are the same.
Oh, Charlie.
To this day.
Oh, man.
Oh.
I see you got to watch that, Charlie.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I believe in insulting everyone.
Do you? Well, that's at least you're an equal opportunity insulter, even at the holidays. What was Christmas like when you were a child?
December 24th or
25th.
Was it Christmas?
They moved it
8th.
To the 25th since then.
It was the 18th century.
Was it?
Yeah.
So it was the 1700s.
But now they They say the 18th century was the 1700s, don't they?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the 20th century will be the 19th?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
And we're going into the 20th century.
No, we're going into the 19th. We're going into the 21st century.
Oh, my. This is too much for me.
Well, we'll save all that for New Year's because this is the Christmas special. Now, Glenn, what does Christmas mean to you?
Family.
Family.
Family almost entirely. I remember the presents as a little guy, but really I came from a minister's family. And there was lots of stuff that the family did at Christmas time, going to bazaars and going to church things and singing all the songs. And so it means family to me.
Linda, when you think of Christmas, what does it mean to you? What sticks out in your mind?
Also family and the gathering of gifts and food and working hard, trying to help my mother clean up the house for the holiday and all that, you know. Since I was the oldest child, I had more responsibility than everybody else. So, but it was fun. It was a very exciting time. I believed in Santa. So I was 12 years old when I got my last doll baby, so.
Well, he'll be here in about an hour.
Really?
He's coming here.
I was totally engrossed in that, right?
Think of what you'll be able to catch up when he comes
right,
in about an hour.
Will be,
Santa
yes.
will be here in hour number two tonight. It's going to be something.
It will be great.
She's been nice.
Well, that's right. There is naughty and nice lists. Nate, what do you think about when you think of Christmas?
Shopping. No. Shopping is just a small part of it. But I have a lot of good memories of family, and especially my grandma on my dad's side. She always made it special when she was alive. Christmas Eve was a big celebration, and she was like the queen of Christmas. You know, we'd go over there and exchange gifts and have a huge meal, and she did all the cooking. And one thing we'd always have, grandma's buns, and we'd always slather those with butter, and those were the highlight every year. So, but yeah, Christmas is just a good time of year, and friends and family.
It is. It's a wonderful time of year to catch up with people and talk and get off your smartphone for a little bit.
Mary Ellen,
yes,
and myself went through World War II, so our Christmases were lean.
Well, I was coming to Mary Ellen.
If we got anything big, we needed another supply of food stamps.
It's not food. Was it? It wasn't food stamps back.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh,
it
yeah.
Was?
Yeah. Everything. It was everything.
Oh, I thought
everything from gasoline to kerosene to food.
I thought they called them green stamps or something.
Ration stamps.
No, that's
ration,
another
ration. Ration stamps.
That was after the war. These are rationing. The government printed these, and we had to wait so long before we get another pair of shoes. I went around with a hole in the bottom of my shoes.
Wow.
And this was at Christmas?
All year long.
Yeah. There was a hole.
You had to wait till you got enough stamps to get a new pair.
Well, that was it, but it pulled people together, did it not?
No, not all together. We had black, what did they call it? Rationing.
The rationing, where we couldn't get certain foods.
Well, and then we had people that sold hoarded sugar.
Black market,
yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And you would think that in time of war, in World War II, that we would all been patriotic, but farmers were bringing meat into town and selling it. Farmers were using tractor gasoline in their cars. And a few people in the neighborhood that I lived in stored 5-pound bags of sugar and sold it for 3 times what it was worth.
These are not warm Christmas memories, Charlie.
No.
We're looking for something like gooey and warm here.
It's real Christmas as we remember.
How many stamps was it cost you to get new shoes?
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh.
But we also had buttons, red and blue. Remember those?
I don't remember those.
Yeah.
No.
I can't remember what they were,
got
those.
What they were for?
I don't know. Involved rationing, but... I can't remember.
It was probably before my time.
But anyhow, and I used to give birthday parties at East Lawn Manor, and I asked them at Christmas time to tell me, like you're asking, and one lady, she must have been in her 90s, said, I can remember we were so poor, I went out and got a dead limb off of a tree, and we used that and decorated it in the house. That's how poor can be poor.
Weren't there any trees that had some leaves on them outside?
Yeah, maple, oak, and all. But the leaves were gone by Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Her last name was Brown. Her son is Charlie.
Charlie Brown. It was one of those. Well, but the Christmas time, I think, was a popular time. Or World War II was a popular time for Christmas because people would wait for letters, and there was USO shows and things like that.
Our parents, my dad was in the Navy, and I didn't know where he was. And you just crossed your fingers every day you weren't going to get a notice he was killed. And,
That's true.
Kept all of us on edge.
I think in the Vietnam era, the same type of thing was going on. People were very worried.
Yeah. Mary Ellen, was your brother in the service?
No, he had polio, so he
wasn't
in the service.
And he was a mailman.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, what I wanted to talk about, well, first of all, what does Christmas mean to you?
Well, I was listening to everybody here. I think probably I appreciate the lights. We went to see the Upper Sandusky Lights last night, and everybody's decorations, the trees and everything. And, of course, I appreciate my family most of all, but it's so exciting to see the way people decorate.
Now, were you a big decorator when the kids were young?
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, I've told you I kept my tree decorated, just took it up in the attic and brought it back down. And one year a squirrel chewed off the top of the tree.
Oh, no.
And, it had a wire in it that big around, and I thought, man, that squirrel had some teeth on him.
Well, one thing I was thinking about, Mary Ellen, because I think at Christmas time, second only to New York, is probably Washington, D.C. They have the big Christmas tree lighting. And you were there for six Christmases?
Yes. I remember those were, so much fun. Leanne Rimes was one of the entertainers.
Oh, she was here at the Crawford County Fair one year.
Was she?
Yes.
Well, I just got a CD of her, and I thought about it because it was so cold. I went back in the tent, and her mother was back there. And so I was talking to her mother because she was traveling with her. She was young when she came out with her first singing, and she was really good. She still is. But those lightings of the Christmas tree were wonderful. And, they would go from one color to another. They're just gorgeous.
Now, the White House Christmas parties, or the Christmas parties that go on in Washington, what were those like?
Well, they went on for about 2 weeks. They'd have a party every night, and they'd invite certain groups of people. And I would alternate between the president and the vice president. I'd be invited to the president's one year, and the next year I'd be invited to the vice president. And that's sort of the way it alternated. And and I got to take people there that would never have gotten to the White House. I took them as my guests, and they really appreciated it. And so it was just a wonderful experience.
What does speaking of decorations, what does the White House look at like in one of these parties in these halls?
Well, it's just everywhere. The decorations are just beautiful. So many trees. They've got a million trees. And they had this one tree that had things on it from every state. And I really would check that tree out real carefully because I wanted to see what Ohio had on it. And the Marine Band and everybody
Marine Corps
would
band.
Be playing, yeah. Yeah, what?
The Marine Corps Band, my opposing band. I was with the Army Field Band, and we played there at Christmas. It would knock your eyes out. There was so much light.
Now, who was president when you were there?
I got to march in the inaugural of Nixon.
Nixon?
Yeah.
Now, was Nixon a big decorator? He doesn't seem like he'd be a fun guy.
We were only allowed in the White House for about 30 minutes. We sang our songs and we got out, so I can't honestly tell you.
He wasn't a party animal.
I don't think he was, but...
Oh, he drank a lot.
Okay, he was a party animal.
Well, there we go. Now... Now, Mary Ellen, you were there during, obviously, the Clinton years. He seemed like a fun guy. He would throw a good party.
Yes, yeah. He was a really nice guy, yeah.
Was Al Gore?
Yeah, they were both wonderful people, yeah.
The city, does the city of Washington turn different, nicer, happier at Christmas time?
Yes, yeah. Well... it was nice, I thought, all the time then. Now it's not so nice.
It's a little different now.
Yeah, right.
Terrible to drive around in, though, right?
Oh, yes. I came back to Marion and I said, oh, thank goodness I don't have the traffic anymore. I couldn't go anywhere I had to go to work early, real early, so I could beat the traffic, and then I'd have to come home late to beat the traffic.
How do you rank those years?
Oh, they were great.
Great years.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could go back and had the energy I had then. You know, I'd really like to do it again.
When you think, did your mother and father, were they Christmas-spirited people?
Well, they were. They were religious people. My father, of course, was a farmer, and my mother was a housewife, and she liked to... make everything nice, you know. And so I had a wonderful home, yeah. So,
Charlie, your parents, what were they like during the holidays?
Well, they're kind of conservative. They were just ordinary people to a degree, but I wouldn't ever wanted to disappoint them. And I did everything. I never cursed or anything like that. Even though Dad was a Navy man, and it never rubbed off, but very nice people, and I certainly did respect them, and they did everything they could to make Christmas decent.
Now you still sleep in the bed you were born in, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now is there anything?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that bed's 85 years old now.
I have a hard time sleeping. I keep hearing this kid crying.
So, do you have any mementos left over Christmas time from when you were a child?
Yes.
What's that?
A night was a fire truck, a toy fire truck made out of metal, not plastic. It was before the plastic era, and my parents at Christmas time. Had my tonsils out, and I remember talking to Santa Claus in the mezzanine of the J.C. Penney Company in Bucyrus, and they said, Santa, would you bring our boy a fire truck if he gets his tonsils out? Well, sure, okay. And they did. I still have it. It sits on top of the dresser that belongs to the bed I was born in.
So it's all right there together.
It's all together, yes.
And well, now, Mike, what are your memories of childhood Christmases? Is there anything you have left over from the years when you were growing up?
Oh, let me think about that. I do have something. I do have is my great grandparents' bubble lights they used to have on their Christmas tree, and the original Noma box they came in.
They're collector's items now.
I know they are. I still have those. Let me see. I have a 1967 Firebird friction car still that I got for Christmas one year. One thing that I've really valued is in my later years, I'm not there yet.
Middle years.
In my adult years, let's put it that way, my parents knew I liked old-time radio, and they bought me a reproduction cathedral-type radio that I still have and use quite often. A few things around from Christmas's past.
Now, Nate, is there anything hanging around from your Christmas past?
Yes, I still have one present I really enjoyed, and I don't know if you remember the old Mr. microphones that they used to have would broadcast a little distance, That was my little radio station. Yeah, I would play radio station for hours on end with that thing. And it's still somewhere in one of my totes on the back porch. I don't know if I get it out, if it's still tuned to a frequency or not. But Mr. Microphone, that's one thing I remember.
You know, this didn't come from my childhood, but when I was working in college, there was a lady who I worked with in a shoe store who knitted Christmas ornaments. And she knitted me like a Frosty the Snowman sock that I put on the tree every year. So that's every year I think about her.
That's good.
And shoes. When I look at that sock every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my Christmas memory.
I pass the dresser where my fire truck is on the way to the bathroom.
So you see it a lot.
Yeah.
Linda, what do you have anything hanging around from Christmas past?
I haven't lived, have I?
It's all gone.
I'm trying to think, right. I don't think I have anything left. I had a auntie. I inherited her jewelry, her costume jewelry. I think she was born in 1910, so I still have that. She was a lady that loved to wear gloves and carry her handkerchiefs, and I inherited those things. And those are things that I love to wear, like when it's cold outside, gloves and that kind of stuff, you know. My daughters aren't too much into that, but I guess I am. So I take that from that era to today.
Glenn, anything from your childhood?
Well, I have a similar thing to yours. When I was...
Do you have the other snowman sock?
I do have a sock, but it's not a snowman. And I think I mentioned this on my radio show the other day. I was 4 years old, and my father's secretary did a lot of knitting, and she knitted me a sock for the Christmas tree. And I loved that sock because my mother would put stuff in it and the sock would get longer. So she had to put more stuff in it. By the time it was done, it was about an 8 foot long sock. And I had all sorts of stuff in it. But one year she put an orange at the bottom in the toe. And my puppy dog decided it wanted the orange. And so I still have the sock. I still use it at Christmas. But it doesn't have a toe anymore.
No toes anymore. A toeless sock. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'll throw this out to everybody. What are the smells of Christmas? What are the tastes of Christmas? Because Christmas does have a unique smell, a unique taste. Things we only eat at Christmas time. Things we only smell. What are those things?
You aren't referring
nobody jump on this quick.
I smell pine trees.
Yeah,
pine trees.
I think the pine smell. I would agree with that.
And those awful Claxton fruitcakes have finally went downhill, Charlie. They're gone.
Oh. You know, I like those.
You like those, Mary Ellen?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I used to get them, and I would have them in my office when I got hungry. Yeah, and
I cannot eat. Those are awful. They're,
no,
they have that anise-y taste.
Candied fruit.
Yeah.
No, but they have soap in them.
They do?
No.
Anise.
No anise.
There's no anise in those fruitcakes?
No.
Oh, I think there is anise in the Claxton,
so.
Charlie.
Mary Ellen?
Huh?
We never tasted anise.
I don't know what you tasted. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I'm not into whether it's there or not.
Well, but we heard the other day that the Claxton man for this area, the distributor, died, and that's why we have no Claxtons.
He died from eating
him. He ate one too many, and that did him in.
Anise overdose?
No, he died of a massive hernia, carrying those things for years and years.
If you want anise, you go to Springerly Cookies.
That's a Christmas cookie.
Right.
Springerly's,
which
are very difficult to make.
Which is a German cookie.
I've had those before.
Yeah, you like the Springerly's, don't you?
They're not too bad, yes.
Now, your wife, Charlie, gave me recipes. Now, these are divinity. Now, that's a Christmas thing.
No, that's candy.
Is that candy?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you eat that any time of the year, or is that...
You can eat it any time. Yeah, it's really
what
good.
What is divinity?
You
I've never had it.
It's candy any time.
A lot of sugar.
Is it?
A lot of sugar. Well, yeah, a lot of egg whites. Yeah.
Now, what are
egg
the...
Egg whites. That's, yeah.
Oh, that's what fluffs the cookies up, isn't it? That's what we've been thinking about that for days around here. It's egg whites.
Well, that fluffs up the divinity. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you want it fluffy? It's candy, isn't it?
Well, you wouldn't call it divinity unless you had a little bit of fluff to it.
Oh, I've never seen it. I don't know.
Really?
No, I've never. Now, the rum candy, that's a Christmas candy.
Yeah.
But I did not realize that rum balls are alcoholic, that you don't cook them so the alcohol doesn't leave the rum balls.
Mm-hmm.
So
I tried drinking one once and choked to death almost.
You could have washed it down with a fruitcake piece. That would have knocked it down. But no, what is it? We called the Claxton Bakery in Claxton, Georgia, and talked to the guy who'd been working
57 years there.
57 years, Rufus, and he said he didn't really like the fruitcakes.
But they make $90 million a year.
Oh my.
But where are they in Marion?
5 million pounds.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I saw one, it was in the window of Faye Bank.
And they don't do it anymore.
No.
They're usually for door stops.
That's right. They're door stops now. Some tables collapsed last year from those sitting on there too long. I don't know what it is about fruitcakes, but they have an awful. Do you like fruitcake, Sean?
No.
That's one.
I tossed one year.
That's right. We did toss fruitcakes 1 year. Nate, do you like a fruitcake?
No.
Nope. That's two for no. Linda, what do you think?
I had one years ago when I worked at Marion Power Shovel. You either got a fruitcake or the jelly of the month club, right? And it was my first time even trying it. But I thought it was good.
Oh. Yeah, really?
I really did. Yeah. I mean, it didn't taste... It looks like it's not going to be good, but yeah, it was good.
It follows through with me that the look matches the taste. What do you think, Glenn?
We had fruitcakes every year when I worked at the Marion Community Credit Union. And we always teased Bill Clark... that what were we going to do with them? We were going to break the windows out so that the robbers could come in and stuff like that. But I understand they tasted pretty good, but I was just not brave enough.
Well, why is the fruitcake tied to Christmas? Does anybody know how that happened?
It's colorful.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did... that's all it is. I mean, if you say it, I'll believe it. I don't think that's the reason,
and
but we'll go with it.
And you can soak it in rum. It's even better.
Oh. Well, that's probably what you have to do to eat it properly.
Right. There you go.
Well, that might get it down. But it's rum candy. It's divinity. It's fruit cake. What else are the Christmas foods? Sugar cookies that are decorated, of course, like Christmas characters and things like that.
Popcorn balls. I love popcorn balls.
Yeah.
And rum cake.
Rum cake.
Yeah, that's good too.
Why don't people decorate the Christmas tree with popcorn anymore?
It was probably a lot of work.
It was. People don't want to get into it anymore.
Try threading popcorn and without getting stuck with a needle.
And cranberries.
Yeah. I never eat cranberries. That's only in Massachusetts.
Now, Buckeyes is Christmas too, right? Buckeyes.
Are Buckeyes Christmas? I think they're all year round, aren't they? Buckeyes
more plentiful in the winter, I think. Yeah.
There were some Buckeye cookies.
Yeah. Buckeyes.
Now back to fruitcakes. My mom used to make fruitcakes.
Did she?
Oh, and somehow I know she used buttermilk, and then she had to cover it and let it set for several days. Mm. But I love fruitcake, Scott, so.
Mm. Well, it's an acquired taste, I think. It's okay. I don't mind that people like them. I'm just glad that they aren't around this year. We had a listener, God bless her, Ruth Haas, who passed away this past year. She made homemade fruitcakes at Christmas, like Mike's family, and used to bring them in. Now, I ate those. Those were edible.
Yeah.
Just not that thing in the package, that Claxton thing.
One of the last people that ever talked to Ruth would have been Scott and myself. And I thought that was something. We talked to her one day, and she's passed away the next.
Yeah, we did. We talked to her on the air.
Yeah.
She sounded fine.
Mm-hmm. And she called almost every day.
She did. She was a devoted listener. And it was sad to see her go, but she was a very nice lady and a devoted listener.
And I've got two German Bibles from her.
Ruth.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. You went to church with her, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Nice woman.
Very nice.
Now, Nate, Ruth used to call into your show, too, didn't she?
Yeah, she would call and answer the trivia questions.
She had a very unique voice.
She did. You could recognize her.
She was a fun lady.
Absolutely.
Fun,
yep.
Now, when we think about Christmas, why is it people are nicer this time of year than the rest of the year? It only happens one month. They are nicer. They aren't? Maybe they're not.
That's because they've imbibed.
I'll have to check my notes. Maybe they're not nicer this time of year. No, they
they're
are.
Drinking. It makes them happy.
Yes.
Let's get you a microphone.
Yeah. Go ahead. But New York people are nice. I've been there during Christmas time and everything. They're pretty nice people, aren't they, Scott?
Well, they are nice. But I think around the world they're nicer. for some reason, people will pass by that kettle, people ringing the bell.
Yeah.
They wouldn't put up with that in August. People, somebody out there shaking that bell all year round.
It's called the spirit of Christmas.
What is the spirit of Christmas?
Goodwill to all men. Peace, love, joy, all those good things.
But why does it fade away?
And smartphones. You forgot smartphones. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, spirit doesn't last forever, I guess. It moves on, right?
Well, and it comes around once a year, and then it moves into another era for some reason. It's an interesting thing, because December 25th comes, and it's still the one day where families get together, and people are a little nicer, they are a little more generous, even in this technological age.
Mm-hmm. And the ladies have to wash the dishes.
Oh, Charlie.
What a sexist thing to say.
Oh, man.
What brought that up?
Yeah.
Same thing as eating something bad.
This is like a family Christmas. This is how people talk at their houses.
No, don't you? Oh, my goodness. After everybody eats, where are the women?
Oh, Charlie.
Doing the dishes.
Oh,
scraping
man.
Food plates. Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to get to
Merry Christmas.
Charlie's wife's right outside the door.
Holy mackerel.
I hope she's hearing this.
Anybody can wash the dishes, Charlie. We have dishwashers now.
Oh, really? What do they look like?
They're plastic and tin. I don't know. I'm just trying to get you out of this, okay?
I've never seen a lady dressed like that.
Oh, Charlie. We're going to move on to "Twas the Night Before Christmas." This is the sixth year you've done this, Charlie, and you did it many years at the Palace Theater.
Oh.
Right?
Yes. Well, I wondered, Linda, aside from everything else.
Yeah, please.
I heard the Bible quoted yesterday. Joseph, son of David, or King David, the wife of Mary. He was a titled person, but we never, we don't recognize that. It's just Joseph.
Joseph, Mary's espoused husband.
Yeah,
right.
But who was he the son of?
Oh, I think
King David.
Yes, it was on the same, it wasn't his son, but a descendant.
Yeah.
It was a descendant.
Okay.
As she was too.
Okay.
That's why they were in Bethlehem for the census.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, Charlie, you read "Twas the Night Before Christmas" at the palace for many years, right?
Yes, I did, yes.
And we've done this.
You mean I got to do it again?
This will be the sixth year you've done this. This will be fun.
Six here and two at the palace?
This is the eighth time you've done this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Maybe I'll get it right this time.
Well,
I often add to it, you know.
You're going to add to it? We'll stick to the script this year.
Okay.
Now, what we do want to let people know is we do have a whole another hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. Everybody's going to stick around. We want to thank Domino's Pizza, who's our supporter. Telephone number over at Domino's, 740-383-3030. The Leshesky family's coming in. Mary Ellen, in hour number two, is going to read "Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus." It's a great, great story. Santa Claus is coming. We've got the big sing-along. We've got silver bells. We've got Santa Claus is coming to town. All kinds of stuff coming up just around the corner. But now we're going to turn it.
I saw Santa a little while ago. He's stuck in the door.
Was he stuck in the door? His reindeer are outside. Did you hear him on the rooftop earlier? What did you have before you came here tonight, Charlie? Have you been in the rum candy?
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to try this. Okay. It's "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Oh, you want me to read that now?
I do. Here we go.
Okay. "'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama, in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. Boy, did that hurt. I mean, how many times can you throw up a sash Well, anyhow, the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when to my wandering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer. With the little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Cupid, on Coppet, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. Well, as dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in the twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my hand and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up just like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke had encircled his head just like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right old jolly elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to tread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team he gave whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
There we go, for the sixth time. Very nice. You know, that holds up just like A Christmas Carol and certain things this time of year. I wonder what it was about that poem, which is what it is, by Clement Clark Moore, that has held up. Why that one?
Now, can you tell me the difference between a reindeer and a...
I think I asked a question. Did I ask a question there? I thought I did.
What's the difference between a reindeer and a caribou?
You eat one of them, right?
They're
well,
the same.
That's true, yeah.
One's domesticated,
tame. The caribou is wild.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
The one you eat, right?
And I had a reindeer burger in Alaska. Pretty good.
So why do you think that poem has held up?
I don't know. It must not have been for guys like me.
I'm coming back to it. Mary Ellen, why do you think that is the thing? Every year you have to hear that. Somebody's got to say it. When they're doing a production, that's the one you go to.
Well, I suppose maybe it was read many times and people just got used to it. And it became the thing, you know.
We're going to do a lot of singing in the next hour, so we're going to go around here real quick before the first hour.
My best remembrance of that is Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians singing that.
Oh.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Nate, what is your favorite Christmas song?
My favorite Christmas song is Here Comes Santa Claus, and I like to hear it sung by Elvis.
By Elvis, an
yes.
Elvis tune. He didn't he do a Blue Christmas?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Linda, what's your favorite Christmas tune?
Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly.
That's one we don't hear a whole lot anymore. That's a good one. Glenn, what's your favorite?
I love Silent Night.
Did you bring the pitch pipe?
I did not bring the pitch pipe.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
And you've got to lead us the next hour.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Mike, favorite Christmas song?
Well, I agree with Glenn. I was going to say Silent Night, but you took it before I...
I'm sorry.
That's okay. But anyhow, yes, Silent Night's one of my favorites. There was a couple that have since passed away in our church that sang that every year, and every time I hear it,
I shed a couple tears. So
it's a very personal song.
Let me jump in here. The reason why I loved Silent Night is we had a midnight service every Christmas Eve, and my father would do Silent Night at midnight, and we all had candles and we'd raise them in the air when you got to the chorus and bring them back down. Unfortunately, we got turned down by the fire marshal after a while.
The fire marshal, the Grinch of Christmas. Holy moly. Mary Ellen, favorite Christmas song?
Well, I think I like Silent Night the best, too. I like I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, too.
That's one of the great ones. You know, the first Noel is one that gets lost out.
Well, Charlie remembers that, the first Noel.
The first Noel, yeah. When that happened?
I remember backwards is Leon. And I once knew a guy named Leon, and I thought, oh, no.
Sphinx? Leon Sphinx?
So, Charlie, what's your favorite Christmas song?
I think what I just read, Fred Waring and the Pennsylvanians, if you could ever find that, it just, it's absolutely great. I tell you another. When I was an engineer, I was assigned to put together all of our Christmas programs. And I had to do hours of them on great big tapes. And I was sent down to St. Mary's Church to do their choir, of a little, you know, little children's choir. And the church was empty. No one else was around but me and the choir loft. And the children sang Away in the Manger. And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
My favorite Christmas song has always been the Christmas song. The chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I think that just says it all. There's really no significance to the song. It doesn't go into the Santa Claus part. It really doesn't go into the secular part. It just says what it feels like. That's what Christmas is like. And I hear Mel Torme wrote that in something like a couple hours. I mean, he really belted that one out.
And you know Mel Torme is Jewish.
I did not know that. But yes, he was the Velvet Soap.
All the good Christmas songs were written by Jews. Now, now you say why?
Why were all the good Christmas songs written by people
true.
Of the
it's
Jewish
true.
Religion?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't know the answer to this one?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll figure it out during the break.
Except that a lot of songwriters were Jewish. Yeah. Some of the best music ever heard.
Do you know why that was?
No.
Their parents were.
Oh, really?
Their mother was.
Their mother was Jewish. That's exactly what happened. We've got so much coming up in hour number two. We've got Santa Claus coming. We've got the Leshefsky family. Mary Ellen's going to read for the first time on one of these programs, Christmas programs. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. That's one of the most touching letters by an editor, right?
That's right.
What newspaper was that? Boston?
Yeah, it was somewhere there on the East Coast.
Somewhere.
You forgot to ask
New
me.
York Sun.
The New York Sun. Yes. Sean, what's your favorite Christmas song? Go ahead.
Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Rockin' Around the Christmas by Brenda Lee.
You might know.
It was. It was right before. So we are going to do that with Mary Ellen. We've got Santa Claus. We've got the Leshefsky family. And we've got our big sing-along. We're going to do Silver Bells. We're going to do the Christmas song. We might do the First Noel, whatever we can fit in. This is all supported by Domino's. Thank you, 740-383-3030. More Christmas fun right around
the
corner.
You. Play one classic Christmas song every hour through Christmas. WWGH Radio wishes